Blog Talk Radio.
Lincoln
103 and 102. Bonding 241 Market Circuit, Jackson 1 Boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your security detail. 3K911, I'm attended 400 lower level near Carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 Parking Structure, Section 4 Boy.
Bonding 241 Market Circuit, Jackson 1 Boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Brown.
484 suspect, is female, Hispanic, 28 years of age, blue jeans, no further.
Control, high freight, 401 is a route.
Well, good evening and welcome to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. And we're certainly glad that you're joining us tonight. It's not really the best of nights, depending on where you're at, where I'm at. We've had some heavy rains and some usual, springtime weather here. But we hope that you've had a nice sunny day wherever it is that you are. I'm your host for the show, as always. My name is Rick McCann, founder, CEO, and chief cheesehead, I guess, of of Private Officer International. We've got a great show for you tonight and a great lineup over the next 3 or 4 weeks, and we'll be telling you about that shortly. We're really excited about many things happening here tonight. And before I get too far into the show, I do want to remind you that while we're on the air, or even if you're listening afterwards on demand, you can always send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. You can definitely ask us to submit some training information, some news, or broadcast any type of promotion or any announcement, and as usual, it will be almost free. It will be free. And we will be happy to do that, so just send us an email if you have any questions while we're on the air. You can also send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com, or you may, as others have already done, join us in the chat room right there on the Blog Talk Radio Network website. You will be able to blog or chat with others. You will be able to send us a question if you'd like and participate that way as well. And as always, we really appreciate everyone who joins us each week at this time, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for the Private Officer Talk Radio Network, a private security and law enforcement association. And we're just really happy this month, March, we're celebrating our seventh year in existence. So we are definitely not a new company. We're definitely not a fly-by-night association. We're definitely not here today and gone tomorrow. And those of you who have been longtime members can definitely attest to that fact. Well, in the last few radio programs, we've had a number of great shows. Last week, we had the first, and it won't be the last, I can promise, but we had the first State of the Association address. We've had many email compliments and calls and lots of folks who really enjoyed the State of the Association address. And they said it was very informative, and they really look forward to the next one. And I hope that you listen to it either live or on demand, and that you are inspired as a association member to get involved and get out there and start preaching the word of Private Officer International. Be a preacher of the word and let people know what all the excitement that's happening here with the association and all of the great stuff that they have to look forward to if they are members. I also want to remind you a little bit about how you can follow us on the web if you are a new listener. And all of you old timers just kind of, you know, ignore it because you hear it every week. But if you are new to us, and we do have a new listener tonight from Venezuela, actually, new member and listener who is listening. And, you know, I didn't have the time to check, but I'm sure the time over there right now is much different than it is here on the East Coast of the United States. So I'm not sure what time, but, you know, we've had people listening to us at all hours of the day and night live from their country. And that's, you know, it's pretty great, pretty great. But if you want to follow us on the web, you can certainly do that. First of all, our main website where everything is happening is www.privateofficer.com. Again, that is www.privateofficer.com. If you are a Facebook person, you can join us at facebook.com/privateofficer.com. If you are a Twitter person, as I always say, our news is linked directly to Twitter, so every time there is a news update, which is several times a day, you will get a tweet, and you'll know that something good is happening, and so you can join us on Twitter at Twitter/Private Officer. Of course, we have our own forums, about 600 members right now. We really enjoy the forums, and so do our members. You can chat amongst yourselves. You can use the forums as a training platform. There's about 1,000 conversations, hundreds of pictures and videos. We add to that daily. You can join us at www.privateofficer.ning.com. And if you'd like to read our news firsthand, you can definitely do that at privateofficernews.wordpress.com. Now, the easiest way, so that you don't have to remember anything or write anything down, the easiest way to follow us or to get to any of those links, including our radio show right here, is just go to our main website, www.privateofficer.com, and that is a 24/7 website. Certainly, there's a lot of information, and I also want to remind you, folks who may go to that website now and then, that that website is actually updated frequently, and if you are a member of the association, well, there's a lot of great useful information that's put there, and you just have to look for it, because we've got a lot of pages and a lot of different areas there, and we definitely will continue to increase and update and tweak that website as we go along. Would also like to remind you at this time, and I think that this is really the last week of this deal, but if you are interested, right now you can become a lifetime member of Private Officer International for the low price of $149. That is incredibly low for a lifetime membership. And if you become a lifetime member this week, which will be the last week of this unbelievable steal, we are including in your lifetime membership a free Certified Asset Protection Professional 1 course. That course is regularly $159. So that course is actually more than what you're going to pay for your lifetime membership. So you're going to get a 2-for-1 deal, basically. You're going to save $159 right now and become certified, all for the price of $149. You can't beat it. Go to our website at www.privateofficer.com and click on Be a Member. And don't do it right now. No. Sorry. Want you to hang around here for a while until we finish the radio show, and then head on over there and link yourself to the association page and take advantage of that spectacular deal this week. It'll be the last week. Now, if you really, and this just goes to show you how much we care about people, if you really need a payment plan because you can't swing that $149 in one chunk, we are also doing that. Just send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com, and we will work with you. But this is definitely the last week to become a lifetime membership for just $149. which includes a free certified asset protection professional course, which is regularly scheduled at $159. Now, if you listen to our State of the Association address last week, we did go over most of the membership benefits, services, discounts, and so forth. And many people said they did not realize everything that was included in your membership for such a low price. And I ran this by a professional in another field this past week, and told them everything that's included in your membership for $35. First of all, I asked them, what do you think the value of this membership is? What would it be in your field, in your industry? What would your yearly membership fee with all of these particular benefits included, what would it be? And they said, about $300. If you are a member of ASIS, the American Security Industrial Association, you know that their membership's about $195 now. The American Society for Industrial Security, I can't think right now because I'm old, but you know that their membership fees are about $195 a year now. When I first joined ASIS at that time, it was about $60, and then it went to $75, $100, you know, and it continues to go up. And they don't include much of anything, certificate, ID card, you know, something to hang on the wall. If you are not familiar with everything that you get as a member, go to our website and click on the association page and check it out again, or send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. But this is an unbelievable, really is, chance for you to become a lifetime member and a certified asset protection professional, all for low cost of $159. You just can't beat it. Well, as many of you know, we kicked off February 1 about a month ago, about 5 weeks ago, I guess, the 2011 training initiative. Our goal is to train 1,000 private security personnel in the world. There are over 3 million here in the U.S. private security officers, and about 27 million, from my understanding, around the world. Our goal is to train every security officer, 1,000 officers, in at least 2 certifications above what their state license requires. If your state requires that you have use of force and laws of arrest, then we don't recommend that you take those with us, because obviously you're already required to have those. But if you will train in first aid, CPR, taser, handcuffing, the CAPP 1 or 2, CERT, or a number of the free training that we're offering, as well as more than a dozen universities and federal agencies that we have listed on the training initiative page, 2 modules above what the state requires, you will also receive a certificate from us, as well as a certificate from whoever you complete the training from. And as we've spoken, you know, in the past few weeks about this, this helps to not only enhance your own knowledge, your training, and your skills, but also your resume. And it's something that you'll be able to be proud of, and something that you'll be able to use to enhance your resume for promotion or for a better job elsewhere. And it does not have to mean the security or law enforcement industry. You can carry this over to any industry, because they look at your training, they look at your certifications, and they see that you are serious about your career, and it will benefit you, you know, financially. It will benefit you in your skills and training. And I recommend, if you have not already participated, that you go to our website, privateofficer.com. Up at the top of the page, there's a banner. Just click on that. It will take you to the training initiative page. And, you know, there's a lot of great free training right now. Take advantage of the opportunity while you have it. We had Donato on the show last week. He's from Connecticut, down along the coastline near New York, not too far from New York, actually. And he completed 50 modules of training. He has a college degree, many years' experience in the private security industry, but he knew the value of training. It became challenging and fun, and so he continued. Well, and many others, a number of others, has also completed many of those modules and have been competing, including myself, who's completed 54 right now. But Donato, if you're listening, hate to tell you, but your record's already been broken. Frank Hall has completed, listen to this, guys and ladies, as of today, 75 training modules in the past 5 weeks. I mean, he just said that it was very fun, challenging, rewarding. He just loved it, and he's going to continue. His goal is to take every possible module on all of these sites this year. And so we applaud. We applaud his initiative. We, applaud him taking this serious. And great job, Frank. Appreciate you very much. The challenge is on, folks. Go to www.privateofficer.com. Click up at the top of the page on the banner. It's fun, educational, addictive, and most of all, it's really going to enhance your training and your skills. I promise you it will. Right now, we're about 30% to our goal, 30%. Now, in recent weeks, days, in the last probably week or so, we began to slow down a little bit on the training modules and on the response from people pledging to do the training. We have a whole year. This goes on until December the 1st of this year. But I encourage you to get in there now early and get this done while you're motivated, while you're thinking about it, because we live such a busy life, and take the 2011 training initiative. Scott Stone emailed me. Thank you very much, Scott. Scott has 34 modules that he did. Listen to this, folks. He did this just this weekend, and I'm clapping for Scott. 34 modules he did this weekend. He had some time to kill, and he knocked off 34 modules in, you know, under 48 hours. So take this serious, people. This is your opportunity, your chance to get the free training. It won't always be available. If you'd like more information or you don't quite understand what's going on or how it works, send us an email at trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. Our goal right now, Private Officer International, has always been about training, about encouragement, about enhancing the private security industry, the frontline security officers who are really the true first responders out there. But our goal now, more than ever before, is to become the best training resource on the web for all of private security, public safety, and private law enforcement. And we're going to do it. There's just no doubt about it. I'm very excited. I just got another email. We're reading the emails as they come in. They're coming in pretty fast. See, I need a secretary. I need somebody to screen my emails as they come in. But this is certainly very, very exciting. A number of you are writing, saying that you also have taken the challenge seriously and that you have completed a number of training modules Wow, that's fantastic. Stephen in Colorado says that he has been completing one training module and certificate course a day for several weeks. And he says that he will continue to do so until he just can't do anymore. And that's just fantastic. I applaud anyone who takes training serious, because that tells me that people understand the importance of training in the work that we do. This is not like, you know, any other work. And for you to take it serious, for you to understand, that's just fantastic. I got another email here. Let me see what it says real quick. This is great. I mean, this is really, 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 really great. Lenny, also in Connecticut. Lenny, you need to hook up with Donato down there and along the coastline. But he says that this has already helped him in his job. The information that he's learned has already been applied in a situation that he had recently. And he also says that this is going to help him in his promotion. He's up for a promotion, and he knows that this is going to help him when he goes for his interview on the promotion. And he's pretty excited about this, and so are we. This is fantastic. Exactly what I've been saying all along, and we're just we're glad that people are beginning to understand and beginning to respond and realize, you know, the importance of the training. It is extremely, extremely, extremely important. And I don't know what else to say, but get involved if you haven't. Very quickly, if you'd like to call in, you can. Our phone number is area code 347-426-3807. Again, that number is 347, area code 426-3807. And we're going to move over here and check out some of the news real quick. Again, if you'd like to call, that number is 347-426-3807. You're on the air. May I help you? If you have any questions about the association or the training initiative, chapters, or anything else that you can think of that you'd like to ask, now would be your time. And I'm looking at one other email very quickly. All right, well, we're going to move over to the news, and Doug, I will get back with you on that email shortly. A shoplifter in Albany, New York, had to be subdued with force after he assaulted the store security personnel at the Price Chopper. According to law enforcement, Joshua Welch stole more than $559 worth of food and then assaulted and struggled with security during the arrest. A Midland, Michigan police officer was charged with sex crimes. Police say that 39-year-old officer Jeffrey Doyle is accused of sex crimes against an adult woman. They did not release any further information, but it did happen evidently while he was on duty, and police are investigating further violations. Fort Payne, Indiana. Police there arrested John Phipps after he stole $5,000 worth of drugs from the back of an ambulance parked at a hospital. Hospital security noticed suspicious activity, notified police, and they were able to apprehend him. In Tunica, Mississippi, which is a gambling town, lots of casinos there, police say that a private security officer shot and killed a man after a disturbance at a nightclub. According to police, Jimmy Keys was hospitalized in critical condition and later died from a gunshot wound to the leg after a confrontation at a Tunica bar. Police are investigating and trying to determine whether or not to file charges against the security officer. In Dallas, Texas, police there say that a security officer there also shot a nightclub patron. The security officer shot one person at Pandora's Men's Club during a disturbance. The man has been taken to the hospital. He, too, is listed in critical and serious condition. The police are investigating whether or not to file charges against this security officer, and we will continue to follow this news and bring you the updates. Corbin, Kentucky, police there say a Kentucky police officer has died, 58-year-old police officer from Alexandria Police Department. James Strickland was training when apparently he experienced a medical emergency. They're not saying it's a heart attack, but he had a medical emergency and was transported to the hospital and died. In Seattle, Washington, a University of Washington Police Department patrol vehicle struck and seriously injured two pedestrians in the University District area early yesterday morning. Police there say that the UW police car was en route to back up a couple of Seattle police officers on a disturbance call when they lost control of their vehicle and struck the two pedestrians. Police are investigating that. A serious situation in Kansas City, Missouri. A Kansas City, Kansas police officer was arrested yesterday. He was off duty apparently in Kansas City, Missouri, which is just across the bridge in the next state over, when he shot a security bouncer at a nightclub when he was asked to leave the nightclub after causing a disturbance. Police say that the off-duty officer pulled a weapon and shot the security bouncer. The off-duty security officer has now been charged, and his name has not yet been released, but we will be working on that and get you more information. In the East Village of New York, for those of you who are familiar with the boroughs of New York City, a dramatic an unfortunate situation unfolded this weekend. Several people out for a good time to a restaurant and movies got into an altercation over a parking spot. Police say that Lana Roses was punched in the face by another driver after she pulled into a vacant parking spot and then got into a altercation argument, according to police, with Oscar Fuller. Oscar Fuller punched the female driver in the face, knocked her to the ground, and as a result, she is in a coma right now and in serious condition. Police have arrested the male driver, and he is currently being held in the jail. New Haven, Connecticut, police and U.S. federal marshals over the weekend apprehended a six-year fugitive who was wanted for a string of rapes along the East Coast. Aaron H. Thomas, 39, was taken into custody for multiple rapes, which began in 1997 in Maryland, Virginia, Rhode Island, Connecticut. Police were led to apparently his latest hideout, and they say that he tried to commit suicide last night, and he's currently in the hospital. In Heard County, Georgia, a deputy sheriff with the Heard County Sheriff's Office, Willie Amos Kamen, died. They say he had a serious car accident. He was hit head-on by another vehicle who was illegally passing a third vehicle and hit the deputy head-on, killing him. In Pierce County, Washington, Deputy Sheriff Shandon Wright was killed after he was assaulted. He had complications from a surgery after going home from the hospital, and he died that day. A very bizarre, and I really do mean bizarre, story out of Alberta, Alabama, which is South Alabama near the Florida line. Alberta Police Chief Mickey Pleasure was arrested after he faked being shot at. Law enforcement had been investigating for several weeks a report that while he was exiting the police station, somebody shot at him. It caused a massive police response, helicopters, dogs, a number of local, state, and federal agencies came in and began the search. This is a very rural area to the east, southeast part of Alabama, near Pensacola, Florida. And unfortunately, it was false. He fired into the building, and then he fired off his service weapon and planted casings to make it look like his story was true. And Chief Pleasure is a retired federal agent, and law enforcement in Alabama is just at a loss. Why in the world a police chief would do this? It doesn't make sense. Minneapolis, Minnesota police there say a security officer working at the Cubs Food, which is a shopping grocery store like Kroger's, was arrested after bartering with shoplifters. He would take all of their prescription drugs that they had, and he would let them go. Nicholas Craig Foster, 27, has been arrested. Police say that they were put on to him after a shoplifter complained that he took their prescription medications. Chicago, Illinois, a shoplifter has been arrested there after pointing a handgun in the face of loss prevention at a local Target store. Ricky Rodriguez, 26, has been charged with robbery, armed robbery, unlawful use of a weapon by a felon, five counts of aggravated assault to a security officer, and possession of ammunition. And we have seen a huge increase in armed confrontations by shoplifters, and that's actually going to be coming up on one of our programs in about 3 weeks about loss prevention and armed confrontations, and you won't want to miss that. Rodriguez currently is in jail waiting trial. Armed confrontations across the board is definitely on the rise. We've seen this for a number of years. And definitely now. Fresno, California has found a way, the police there has found a way to beef up their staff without paying anybody. Police in Fresno are using volunteer police more and more to do everything from taking fingerprints to dusting evidence, stolen vehicles, traffic enforcement, where they actually go out with a radar gun. They handle all non-confrontational police reports and incidents. Wow. Actually, that's a wave of the future. You're going to see more and more police departments using not only citizens but private security to help booster their force and their manpower as more and more departments continue to lay off and budgets continue to be cut. Cleveland, Ohio, a retired, and this is a very sad story out of Cleveland, a retired Cleveland police officer, 23-year veteran of the Cleveland Police Department, has been sentenced to prison for 52 and a half years. 52. The guy is in his 50s. What does that mean? It means a life sentence. He will die there. He's been sentenced to 52 and a half years in prison for possessing child pornography, which he says was just a curiosity that he indulged himself in wrongly. Police investigated him for some time and found more than 100 videos and photos of children as young as two having in sexual positions and having sex with adults. And unfortunately, it got carried away, and the man is now, his life is over. Kansas City, Missouri, police there said they finally made an arrest in the shooting death of a security officer who was in working at the McDonald's July 13th of last year. According to police, Damani D. Wilson, 17, has been arrested after he shot and killed a security officer because he wanted his laptop. Las Vegas, Nevada, security and police there are very busy this weekend. This is a NASCAR weekend in the big Las Vegas city. Police there, including federal, state, and local, and a heavy contingent of private security, have ramped up their law enforcement duties because they have more than 150,000 people in town. And it's a possible terrorist attack situation. They have not received any credible information saying that there would be an incident, but it's definitely a prime target. U.S. Federal Marshals, ATF, FBI, State Police, Vegas Police, and hundreds of private security are on patrol of not only the event location, the racetrack, but the casinos and hotels nearby. So far, we have had no reports of any activity other than normal drunks and lots of racing and people having a good time. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, one of these stories that I hate to read. Pittsburgh school security officer has been arrested for doing heroin on duty at the Oliver High School. According to police, Kaylee Rafferty, 35, who's worked for the Pittsburgh School Security Department for many years, was caught by a teacher and a student snorting what they thought to be cocaine. It turned out to be heroin. Police took her into custody, charging her with drug possession. And that's all the news for tonight, although there's always news 24 hours and 7 days a week. News continues to happen everywhere, and we're usually on top of the news. I will tell you, as I have before, there is usually someone monitoring the news and our email 24 hours a day. And those of you who have had occasion to email in for whatever reason, you know that has been the scenario. Whenever you send an email, usually someone is there almost immediately to respond to you. And we're checking our news almost 24/7 to stay on top of what is happening. And so it's good to know that someone is looking out for you. Now, we do have an occasional comment about all the bad news that we send out, but that news, you could look at it as a training tool, which is what we do. It is a training tool. If you look at the news, and you read it and you learn from it, it's a good thing. If you just look at it as bad news all the time, and you know, again, it's one of those glass half full or glass half empty type situations. We have an email here from Keith Howard, and another one from Sissy, asking for some information on the franchise. And we will be touching base on that momentarily. And, you know, we have so much happening here at Private Officer International. And we really hope that you will take advantage of everything that's going on. And we'll be right back after this brief pause. A number of months ago, maybe about a year ago, a very popular professor at Temple University came up with a study that showed that we're already privatizing our police forces. I have mentioned this a number of times in our radio programs and news blogs and so forth, that many towns, not many, but a number of towns have begun using private security for law enforcement type duties, and this is actually a wave of the future. It's already being used and done in foreign countries. UK is on the front line of privatizing some of their police duties to private security. And the professor at Temple did a study about privatizing security, privatizing police with security, which was popular. And recently, just in the last few weeks, I've noticed that this interview, which I'm about to play for you, and the study is coming up more and more as politicians and law enforcement communities begin to look at how they can supplement the budget cuts, the loss of personnel and staff, how they can continue to maintain a level of service that the public expects and has a right to have as taxpayers. And so, you know, I want to play this soundbite. Again, this was from a article that was out about a year and a half ago, I believe, and now it's again, very popular. And just listen to what this professor has to say. Because, you know, I think that you're going to find that's exactly what I've been saying all along.
We were talking earlier about the government's gradual relinquishment of ownership in General Motors. In these days of government intervention in private industry, it might be hard to imagine, but one public sector is undergoing radical privatization. Police departments across the country are finding themselves supplemented and in some cases supplanted by private security firms. Simon Hakim of Temple University has studied the issue, and he says in the early 70s there were 7 police officers for every 4 private security guards. Today, it's 1 officer for every 3 private guards.
The main reason is that the police at state and local level, the budget pretty much stayed fixed over time. Now, the demand for security have grown, even by municipalities, and municipalities start to feel the budget crunch. So the result of it is that a lot of security that governments require, governments started to contract it out to private agencies. For example, guarding prisoners, guarding even police station and the other type of installations.
I know in the article that you talk about how part of the problem is that traditional police forces aren't quick enough to react to new threats, for example, identity theft.
That's right. In other words, up to now, we talked about the low-level security that private security guards enter into it. Now we have more sophisticated crime, like identity theft, like internet crime. The police doesn't deal with it anymore at all. So private security forces got into it. But it's further. A lot of those investigations require high-caliber professionals, accountants, IT people, lawyers, etc., that the police has difficult recruiting because of limited budget. And they can never pay the high salaries that the private sector does.
But there are still a lot of crimes that private security forces certainly cannot tackle. I mean, murder, breaking and entering, that sort of thing.
In the last 20 years, we've seen a drop of 25% in property and violent crime. That's traditionally being handled by our police departments. So what you're really facing is that the traditional work of the police has been going down because they have less crime to deal with.
So where does this go from here? Would you predict, based on your research, that we will see more and more police forces going into private hands?
I believe it's true. The police is a monopoly. It's less innovative than the private sector that is under the gun of competition. A police department will never go bankrupt. A private company could go bankrupt. So private companies adopt more technology. I expect that we may find contracting out of small police departments, because a lot of small police departments really don't have the justification in many cases to exist. And for the consumers, they get better service in much lower cost.
Simon Hakim is a professor of economics at Temple.
You know, and this is something that we have been mentioning for the last few years. We see this nationally, internationally, companies counting on private security to do law enforcement type duties. We've seen countries such as the UK and Canada and other foreign countries that depend on private security to provide top level law enforcement. And also here in the US, many top-level investigations are being handled by private sources. And this is going to continue as more and more budgets are cut and staffing continues to shrink. I read an article this week that stated that in 2009, $322 billion was spent on police. $586 billion was spent on private security services. Almost twice, almost double what the law enforcement sector was spending. Private security had spent $586 billion. So this is where we're going, and this is why we say we must, across the board, if we're going to stay in this industry and provide the level of service that our clients and the general public expects from us, anyone wearing a uniform and a badge, that we must step up to the plate and do the training that's required. We won't go into detail tonight. I will do that on another program, but we've recently studied what is happening in the training requirements of states, and you would be surprised. We did a little chart here in the office, and you would be surprised that a number of states actually have implemented increases of standardized training for private security over the last number of years, 8 years, I believe it was, and that trend will continue. So regardless of what it looks like in your state, you can expect that as duties and responsibilities continues to increase, so will the training. And hopefully that will equate to more finances, better pay, better benefits for the private sector and for the profession of private security overall. And tonight, in the training segment, we will be talking about responsibilities and duties of the private security officer, just briefly, because we do hit home this concept and this part of the training often, but tonight there has been a number of newspaper articles about some situations security have found themselves in, and I want to, you know, kind of briefly go over what the duties and limitations and boundaries are, so we will touch base on that for a few moments here in a little while. I do want to tell you, we had an email, a couple of emails a second ago, asking about some information on the franchises, which we mentioned in the State of the Association address last week. And we are almost complete, still working hard, like with everything else, but we're almost complete with the franchise program. And a sister company of Private Officer International, which is called Private Officer Security Corporation, a corporation in itself, will be offering franchises of security service agencies nationally within the next several months. I believe it will be June 1st or sometime in May. However, as stated on the address last week, we have decided to offer three franchise units free of charge. We will not charge the normal franchise fee. We are going to have a little competition, and I'm going to kick that off tonight so that by the time the franchise company is in operation in less than 60 days, those three individuals will be picked and will be the initial beginning of private officer security services. And here's all that you have to do if you are interested in being an owner of your own security, private investigation, and alarm service. The first thing that you need to do, so that you know a little bit about what a franchise is you need to do some research on your own. Even if you think you know, even if you have some relative or friend who owns a restaurant franchise or whatever it might be, I would like for you to do your due diligence and research for yourself the concept of a franchise. What is a franchise and how is it different than any other business? I would like for you to understand what a franchise license fee is and what the normal fee across the board is. As I said last week, the normal franchise fee is somewhere between $12,000 and $100,000, depending on the type of business. That is your initial license fee before you ever begin thinking of owning the business. It's a fee to use that company name, logo, and system. It's also a fee that gets you free assistance with setting up your business, your marketing, your HR stuff, your hiring, your training, the whole nine yards. The second cost involved in every franchise is a royalty fee, which is paid once a month based on your overall gross amount of money that you make. So, for instance, if you own a McDonald's, which is a franchise, one of the most expensive franchises out there, I might add, and your store made $1 million in sales this month, McDonald's charges 6% franchise, royalty fee. So 6% of $1 million is $60,000. 60 grand is what you would have to pay to the McDonald's Corporation that month. And the royalty fee is based on your gross sales every month. It's just part of doing business because franchises are a turnkey operation. You don't have to go out and research and do all the legwork for the business because it's already been done and there's a package, a turnkey package available to you. That's basically what a franchise is. But I'd like for you to go out and research for yourself so you'll have a better understanding of what it is, what the concept is, and how you can benefit from a franchise as opposed to starting your own company. Then we'd like for you to write a business proposal for 1 year. And if you've never done a business proposal, it is not easy. First, sit down and do a couple of drafts. Research online proposals, business proposals. You won't need a name because when you have a franchise, you use the franchise name, which in this case is Private Officer Security Services Corporation. You won't need a logo because you'll use the Private Officer Security logo and patches and badges and so forth. However, you will need to come up with a business proposal. Do it in 3-month increments. Start off with your first 90 days. What type of business do you want to offer? What location do you want to offer it in? Are you going to do patrol work, guard work, detective work? What is it that you're going to do? How many people do you think you'll be able to employ during that first 90 days, 60 days, 120 days, and so forth? Put it all together. And when you're done, you can either email it to me direct, or you may mail it to our office. And the address is on our website at www.privateofficer.com. The three people with the best proposal will be offered a free franchise. I want you to listen to this carefully. That is valued at $30,000. Not a lot of work, but a lot of initiative on your part. So if you are interested in participating, owning your own business, and having an opportunity to do it for basically free, follow the directions and instructions. We will be sending out an email this week that will go over exactly what I just told you. And, you know, basically all that we can say from this end is good luck to everyone, and we'll see who wins. We'll be telling you more about it in the upcoming weeks. I hope that explains how you can become an owner of a franchise basically for free. And if you have any questions, please email us at adminassist@privateofficer.com. I think that's pretty exciting myself. And I hope that you do too. We do have a couple of positions open if you are looking for a job, the J-O-B. We do have a couple of work-from-home positions. These are real jobs that you get real money for. We are hiring an account rep for advertising for our website marketing and radio marketing to do advertising sales. It's a full-time business-to-business opportunity with a large income potential. We are also recruiting one office tech. You can work from home part-time, your own hours. You will assist with information development, database assistance, and other duties as given by the operations manager. If you're interested in either of those positions, please send us an email to Stephanie K, Stephanie and the letter K, at privateofficer.com, and she or someone else will get back to you soon, and we'll conduct an interview, and we'll go from there. We're also looking for a co-host for our new LP Zone We've done a couple of shows. We'd like to kick this off as a weekly program. If you are interested and you have some retail security background, either at a mall or as a LP agent, a trainer, a security manager in the retail environment, please send me an email at radio@privateofficer.com. radio@privateofficer.com. You can also, if you're interested in doing a show here on our Sunday night program and you want to pick a topic and you want to be a co-host of that show, we will be glad. Be glad to have you. Just send me a topic, radio topic, and a little brief information, and we will definitely get back with you and you'll be on the show. Next week, I want to remind you before I forget that we have a great show. You will not want to miss the Maritime Security Show with a spokesperson from a very unique private security business in Oregon who specializes in maritime security. They operate boat patrols along the river there and security in the ports. And we'll be talking with the Homeland Security Department representative. Looking forward to that. About the TWIC, the Transportation Workers Identification Card Program, which is pretty much mandatory if you're working in and around the transportation area, and even if you're not, it really is something that you might want to consider getting because it is a sure form of identification, and it's also a credential for you in this business. So if you plan on staying around the private security, law enforcement, or public safety industry, you might want to seriously consider getting that. Very quickly, we want to mention this week's birthdays because, you know, it's birthday time, and we certainly don't want to, you know, forget them, do we? Nah. We do have a number of birthdays. Now, we sometimes, and I apologize, it just happens that way. We sometimes overlook some of the birthdays that we get, and we get a lot of emails. We really do, and we get a lot of information coming across our forums. And all right, you know, I apologize. So. Happy birthday, Curtis Tamela. Curtis Tamela is 45. He is in Newport News, Virginia. Peter Franks is in Germany, and I don't have the location. We have a number of members in Germany, and I really don't have the city, and I apologize. He's 38. Happy birthday there, Mr. Franks. Ryan Holt, one of our longtime listeners and members of the association, 56. He's in Thomasville, Georgia. James Stryker, he is in New Orleans, Louisiana. Going to have a little crawfish and some beignets for dessert. Also, Randy Westerville, I believe it is. Happy birthday to you. He is 25, a loss prevention agent. And Wayne, don't have a last name here, and I apologize. He's in New York State, up in Albany. He is a police officer. And also Marty, Marty, don't have the last name here either. And happy birthday to you. He is 32. Also want to congratulate Micah Jones in Little Rock, Arkansas. This week he completed the Certified Asset Protection Professional 2. That is quite a course. If you've not taken it yet, you might want to consider it. It is comparable. In fact, it is above the CAPP 1 course and also the CPP course offered by ASIS. It is a college-level board-certified course. It is, I think at this time, it's 48 or 58 modules of training. It's a fantastic course. Randy Newhart, he is in Maine. He also completed his CAPP 2 certification. Sierra King is in Grand Isle, Nebraska. I think we failed to mention her last week. She completed her certified church security specialist. Sean Copeland, Houston, Texas. He completed his Certified Asset Protection Professional 2. Brian Huntington in Paramus, New Jersey. He completed his CAPP 1. Kendra Thompson in South Africa. She completed her CAPP 2. Frolene Marte in Hartford, Connecticut. He completed his Certified Asset Protection Professional 2 and Certified Loss Prevention. And Peter Weinstein in Rochester, New York, completed his Certified Asset Protection 2, I believe it is. And so to all those folks, of course, we do what we do every week. We say congratulations. It's great to have so many people really understand what training is all about. In the email bag this week, Brent Townsend, glad to be a new member and currently undergoing some training. And let me mention this real quick, too. Thanks for writing in, Brent. We have about 23 people currently undergoing the CAPP 1 course online. We definitely appreciate them. They join as many of them joined as lifetime members of the association and got some free training kicked in there to boot. And some of them did not join as a member but just got the training. So we have a lot of activity going on. And well, I was going to save this for next week, but let me go ahead and mention this because I've got a couple of friends of mine listening in Venezuela, and also a friend of mine listening in the UK, and I know that we've got friends listening. They always listen to us in Australia, which I think is about 11 a.m. there right now, something like that. And, of course, our directors and friends in Hawaii listen, and it's about 2 p.m. there at this time. But we have been in negotiations with several colleges to use our training. As we have mentioned before, a number of colleges already use our training. We are in negotiations with several other colleges to use our training, security training, and we've just been notified this week that one other state will use our training to certify all security officers, and when we sign on the dotted line, we will let you know which state that is. Hawaii already uses our training criteria, our curriculum, to certify their security officers, and we're just very proud of the training that we are doing and the recognition that we are getting. George White from Tazewell, Tennessee, wrote saying that he is really enjoying the radio shows and all the great stuff happening. He is involved in the training initiative. Thanks, George, for writing in. We appreciate you being a listener. We really do. And, you know, we really do love all of the emails, and I apologize that I can't personally get back to each one. Not that I'm a rock star or anything, but we are quite busy and on the road often. Barry in the British Columbia just wanted to write and said, two thumbs up, keep up the great work, really loved and enjoyed the address of the association address that we gave last week. Seth in Long Island wrote that he loves the radio show also. He listens to it regularly, and he can't wait to become a member soon. Marty in Germany loves Private Officer International, period, is what he wrote in his email. And a friend of ours over in California, every time that he sends us an email, on the bottom of the email, and this is the truth, I'm not making it up. On the bottom of his email, he puts POI rocks. Hey, when you're good, you're good. But we really appreciate every email and every person who writes us. I mean, we really do. And we're going to try very hard to personally respond back to you, each and every one of you, and we'll make it our, I can't say New Year's resolution now because we're already in March, but I'll make it my Lent agreement or whatever. Want to mention one other thing before we swing over into the training segment. We are still looking for firsthand stories and accounts of something that you have been involved in as a private security officer, law enforcement officer, public safety officer, to include in our Security in Motion book. It's a compilation of firsthand stories from you, the frontline security professional, law enforcement officer. We really want to publish this book. We're already a little bit behind schedule. We're working on the editing. Right now we're editing stories and so forth. But we still have space and time if you would like to submit your particular story for the Security in Motion book. You will become an instant author. The books will be available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and several other websites. Just send us 200-plus words to adminassist@privateofficer.com. Adminassist@privateofficer.com. Again, this is something that can be funny. It can be something serious. It might be a good arrest or apprehension that you've had. It may be, whatever. But send us that right quick, as I say here in the South, so that we can include that in our upcoming Security in Motion book. Training segment, as we are already, as usual, we are running out of time. I need more hours in the day, folks. But very quickly, I'm sure that you know what your jurisdiction is. I'm sure that you understand what your boundaries are. I'm sure that you understand what your scope of authority is. And if you're listening to my radio show and you don't, I only have one thing to say. Shame on you, because the sermons that we preach here, you understand how we feel about training, duties, and scope of authority. But tonight, very quickly, because there has been a number of incidents, we want to go over, again, your scope of authority and your limitations and boundaries. The title of this show tonight is Boundaries. I'm not going to treat you as a kid or somebody just coming into the industry, because we have many seasoned veteran law enforcement officers, public safety officers, and private security who listen to the show. But as you know, when you are working on private property, and the key words in that statement is private property, as a security officer, security person, there are limitations and there are boundaries that are put on us by our employer and by the law. And there's a reason for that. Can you imagine if every private security officer have the authority to chase across the boundaries, across the street, across the town, anyone that they wanted to. Just this past week, and this is the gospel truth, folks. Just this past week, we had an incident in Virginia where two security officers spotted a suspicious person and chased them from one end of the city across town, up on the interstate, down through another town. The vehicle finally crashed. The police finally caught up with them. Police asked the security officers, what did these people do that you're chasing them like this? You're putting everyone's lives in danger. And they said, well, they were acting suspicious. They were what? That they were acting suspicious on the property. You're going 80 miles an hour down the road. You're chasing them in and out of traffic. You're getting up on the interstate. You're going through several towns, and you what? They did what? They were acting suspicious, sir. You think that this is an isolated incident, when in fact it's not. Happens all the time. Loss prevention people, and I don't want to say anything bad about LP agents because I did it for many years, but we're notorious for chasing people off the property, across the street, down the road, in the vehicle, on foot, whatever it takes to get our man or woman, whatever the case might be. As a young, full of pep and zest person, I thought it was no big deal. As I got older, more mature, and I realized the consequences and the risk and the liabilities that is attached to the actions, I understand now more than ever why we had a policy against it. I know they committed a crime. I know that they're escaping, but you have to weigh out the risk, the liability, the consequences. If you're chasing someone just because they're suspicious and they slam into a car and somebody's dead, what's your defense going to be at that point? What is your argument going to be then? They were suspicious, officer. Your Honor, we weren't chasing, we were following them. No, you were chasing them. It caused them to crash. They killed another driver. They killed a child. They killed themselves. We have to respect the boundaries and the scope of our authority and the limitations. And let me tell you this. If you've never been in law enforcement, or even if you have, you'll understand what I'm about to tell you. More, or if you listen to Police Scanners, you'll understand what I'm about to tell you. More and more law enforcement departments do not allow pursuits unless a very serious crime has been committed because of all of the crashes, because of all of the dead people, because of all of the liability, the lawsuits. Police officers, law enforcement, and security, we all have boundaries. We can't just do whatever it takes to get our man. In the private security sector, there are two determining factors of what your boundaries are and what your duties are. And those two determining factors, as we always tell you, is your employer and the statutes, the law. They decide what your duties are, what your responsibilities are, what your limitations are, what your boundaries are, how much force you can use, who you can detain, arrest, or apprehend, what it is that you can do, and how much you can do, and how you can't do it. And I know, we've had this discussion before. You think, oh, they don't want me to do anything but just be here. I'm not accomplishing anything by just being here. Well, you do prevent things from happening by just being there, but there are reasons why we have policies and procedures, why we have boundaries, why we have limitations. Every job, every type of position has limitations, boundaries. We just can't make up the rules as we go. I'm preaching to the choir tonight, people. As I've told you before, I've been in your shoes. I've done it over and over and over. I've broken every policy. I've done everything wrong myself many times. Thank God nothing serious ever happened. Many close calls. Many times I sure thought something was going to happen. Many times I thought for sure my butt was going to get chewed out. We were going to get sued because of my ignorance. But luckily, it didn't happen. While you are on private property, whether it be a shopping mall, a retail store, a grocery store, an office building, wherever your duties are, your assignment is, you are the man. You're the man. As an agent for the property, as a spokesperson for the owner, for the management company, for the manager, you dictate who stays, who goes, what happens. You enforce the rules, the regulations, and the law. That's all well and good. But once you leave the property, once you go beyond the boundaries, not only of the property line, the invisible line, you don't have any authority. And what you do across the street, what you do down the road, it's going to get you in trouble. Criminally or civilly, you're going to pay for it. You know the saying about consequences, about actions, about responsibilities. You have to know your scope of authority. You have to know your limits, and you have to respect it to do this job safely, to do this job without being prosecuted ourselves or sued. I encourage you tonight to look at the policies of your employer, read your handbook, read your post orders. If there are none, find out what they are. Get them in writing. Ask your supervisor. Email your supervisor. Keep a copy of it. Understand what your legal obligations are on the job. Understand what your authority is and is not. Understand your limitations and boundaries. I could go on tonight for the next 35 minutes and tell you all about all of the screw-ups that have happened in private security just in the last few weeks. Never mind the last, 7 years since we started the association. But I'm not going to, because you're mature adults, but I want you to understand we're concerned for you as members and friends and associates, and we want you to be concerned about you. and understand that in the heat of the battle, when the adrenaline is pumping, when everything is going on, you have to think, you have to stop long enough to think, is it worth it? Is it worth the chase? Is it worth me getting arrested for doing this? Is it worth us being sued? Am I going beyond the boundaries of my job? Am I going beyond the scope of my authority? Private security personnel these days have more authority than ever before. In fact, on private property, you may argue this with me until you're blue in the face, but on private property, most private security officers have more authority than the police department because they cannot come in and search anybody they want. They can't come in and search or arrest anybody they want. They can't enforce the property regulations, but you, as the agent of the property, can. So in order to do your job effectively, in order to be, you know, in the clear of any wrongdoing challenges, you have to understand what your job is and your scope of authority and your boundaries. You have to know the statutes in your state which allows you to make arrest or allows you to use force. Be cognizant. Be aware of what the statutes and laws and civil ordinances are in your state. Know them inside and out. Get a copy of your state laws. Get a copy of your post orders. Get a copy of all, everything that has to do with your job. Get it in writing so that you'll understand fully your limitations, your boundaries. It's for your own good, your own protection. Your employer and the state law is who dictates what your boundaries are, what your authority is, what you can and cannot do, and you can't go above and beyond that. That is just how it goes. It does not matter what type of position you have or what type of job you hold. Everybody's got these same boundaries, limitations. We can't just go out and do whatever we want in this world. So I'm not going to go on the rest of the night preaching to you. I hope that you understand where we're coming from. We're going to cut the radio show short at this point, because I think I've got the word across to you. Next week, you will not want to miss the show. We have a great show, a great speaker, several speakers, talking about maritime security and the TWIC work identification card required for transportation workers, including private security. And if you have any questions, comments, or you'd like to be involved in maybe the chapters or the ambassadors' positions or other things, send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. If you'd like more information on the franchise, do the same. Just send us an email at privateofficer.com. That's going to wrap up our show for tonight. Thanks for being here from wherever you are around the world. I hope that you have a great week. Be safe, be blessed, and we will see you back here on the next week.